Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. Listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. We'll go back.
Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me in the Extra Hour is Pat and Chris. And my goodness, we have a wonderful extra hour. We want to talk about, we want to share a wonderful segment that we've played before called You Caught His Eye. There's something so powerful when you understand and recognize that God sees everything. And God watches your every moment. He is so in tune with your life. Your every hair in your head is numbered. And that his eyes, the eyes of the Lord are upon you. He loves you and desires to have such a wonderful relationship with you. And you're going to be so encouraged when you understand and you realize that his eye's on you. You caught his eye. Listen up.
And so I just want to encourage you. I mean, if you haven't yet, we're fine. I mean, our audience, if you haven't heard about the virtual stadium, you'll hear it sometime today. You know, we're excited to have you sit down in the seat in this virtual stadium. To be encouraged, you know, realize that you can sit any time of the day, you know, whether you're in your car or whether you're at home or in your office, and just let encouragement come over you. Let the light of God's reality and truth come over you. Understand that you can look the truth square in the face, you know, reality square in the face, if you understand God's perspective of it. Because the enemy likes to do things to cause people to be fearful. Mm-hmm. And so people just kind of bury their head in the sand of the denial. It don't exist. It don't exist. It don't exist. And it's kind of funny after a while when you're thinking, you know, I'm not going to talk about being a Lions fan. But, you know, at some point, you know, you just got to face it. You know, people get tired of denial after a while because they're having to live it. You know, you keep denying our reality. We want you to talk about our reality. But when you know God's truth about it and God's perspective and that God is the creator of all things, he holds all things together, and he protects those who stay in him, who put their trust in him, then you can look at the truth. You know, and if we've failed, which we have, you know, if we've come short, well, John, and, yes. We can make things right. You know, we can make things right at the cross. That's what's so awesome about Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, people wanted to deny Jesus because that's the only place that you can make things right. Mm-hmm. It's at the feet of Jesus, at the cross of Christ. But you can make things right. You know, righteousness means this, right standing with God. Somebody says, well, you can't be righteous. Well, there's no one righteous. You know, no man that's righteous. No one righteous is God, you know, and Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so, but understand this, because of what Jesus did, if we acknowledge our failures and our awesome need for a Savior and accept what he did on the cross, at that point, we're in right standing with God, which means even though we don't feel righteous, you know, even though, you know, we are a Saints fan, even though we are, don't feel that way, we know by faith that we are. Mm-hmm. So when you see that a righteous man, when God says that a righteous man, a fool who denies God is blown away by the storm, but a righteous man is not uprooted, you can say, don't be defeated by the mentality of who you were before you knew Christ. Understand now that you know him, you're in right standing with God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not some righteous, you know, religious zealot. You're right before God because of Jesus and your reliance and your dependency on him, which means your roots go deep and the storm cannot remove you according to your faith in this reality that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So we got to get back to understanding that we've been made right in God, right standing before God. He says, and because Jesus has done all this, that we can approach the throne of the creator of the universe, who sits on a throne in the center of the universe, surrounded by an emerald rainbow with lightning and thunder, this booming from his throne room, with angels surrounding him, calling out, "Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Worthy is your name. Worthy." And think about that. All this is happening, and we can walk in the midst of all of that boldly and go, "Dad," or "Abba." That's Hebrew, right?
Yeah.
Or Greek, Hebrew?
It's Hebrew.
Abba. That means daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And the angels go, "Shh. One of his sons are here. One of his daughters are here." Shh. I mean, the angels stand in awe of what Jesus did for us. I mean, he says in Song of Solomon, we caught his eye.
Mm.
We caught his eye. And he has, you know what I'm saying? He's like, you know, we just caught his eye. Believe it or not, right?
Yeah.
You know, for example, when I saw you smoking your Bible, Chris, yeah, you know, I just kind of glanced over there, and I caught your eye. It's this future story we got to tell you. You know, the word was in Chris before it was in Chris.
it was in him already.
It was in. We you know, the future story. But listen, this is how awesome you are, that the creator of the universe was glancing, looking around, and all of a sudden he saw you out of the corner of his eye. And he goes, "I am in love with you. I'm in love with you." I mean, think about that. It's like, why do you think the adversary is doing everything he can to do to change this perception and destroy what a father looks like, and trying to destroy the perception of the name of Jesus, and to change who God is and change who the true prophet of God, all this different stuff? Because he's jealous of that God, the creator of the universe. You call his eye, and he goes, "Wow, I'm in love with you. I want." But then there was an issue. It was a sin issue. It was the fact that, how can I get close to the one that I love, because I'm in love with you? And how do I do that without killing you? Because my very presence, sin can't exist in my presence, but you got the sin in your life from the fall of the man since the garden. I want to be close to you. And so what can I do? You know, I love you so much. I love you so much. You caught my eye so much. My heart so burns for you that I'm going to give my son for you. I'm going to have my son. He's going to come from the splendors right now where he is with me now. And he's going to be birthed like a man like you are. Because he's God, but now he's going to become a man and all God. And I'm going to hover over this virgin named Mary, over her womb with my spirit. And the seed of God will go into the womb of woman. And in that, I will conceive my son. So he will forever be a man. And he'll forever be God. He gave up the splendors of heaven and this perfectness of godness to be able to come down to be all man and all God. And he, Jesus, is and was so in love with the Father and so in love with you that he wants us to be his bride. Mm. I mean, this is a love story. This is a love story. And so Jesus was so in love with you and so in love with the Father that he walked on the face of this earth just like you walk and just like I walk. And he was tempted in every way. So don't think the way you're being tempted that God can't relate to it. That's just other people can't relate to it. God's been tempted. Jesus was tempted in every way, But yet he didn't fall to it like we fall into it and that type of thing. And so he walked sinless. He didn't make any mistakes. He didn't do nothing or say nothing unless the Father wanted him to say or do it. Why? Because you caught his eye. Mm-hmm. You caught his eye, and he was working out a plan to bring you into his presence forever. I mean, he wants to live with you forever. And he had to work out a way to do that, and he did it through his son, and his son did it through the father, and they did it because of you, and he walked a sinless life. But all of a sudden, out the middle of nowhere, about around the age of 33 years of age, after he's walked in his ministry and made the father known is what he was doing. That's why we always talk about meet my father. It's about making the father known. That's our ministry. We want to make the one whose eye you caught known to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said, this is what I'm going to do. My perfect son, who's made no mistakes, not one, but can relate to your issues because he's been tempted in every way, just like you. And he can explain to me, by the way, he can explain to me in the future and all the time about what's going on, because God doesn't, you know, he understands the answer. But he does, the question is, like, it just doesn't even compute with him. You know, why would sin be? And so all of a sudden, the Father God, whose eye you caught, he took all the sin, all the mistakes, all the failures, all the downfallings, everything that's ever gone wrong, did go wrong, has gone wrong, or ever will go wrong. All the sins, all your failures, all of our mistakes, and he took it all at one time and he just dumped it on his son, because that was the only way that the one who caught his eye that he can have a relationship with. That was the only way. That's why religion is trying to take this away from you. That's why men are saying, hey, you need to be a go-between. I'm a go-between between you and God. That's why they're telling you don't need to abide with him. Listen, he loves you and he wants to abide with you. Quit eating another man's groceries and realize God wants to feed you. Taste and see the Lord is good. He wants to commune with you. And so he dumped all of our sin on Jesus. Jesus willingly took the sin and he nailed him to the cross. Why? Because sin has to be paid for. God is a just God, and he's the one that justifies. He had to deal with sin, and he dealt with sin once and for all by allowing his son to be the sin sacrifice for us. He paid the price. The one whose eye you caught, he was so in love with you and is so in love with you that he dumped all of our wrongs that ever was on his son. And then he struck his son. He literally struck his son, who he loves, so he didn't have to strike you. Mm-hmm. And then he died. And then Jesus is so awesome. I mean, he's on the cross. You know, all his sin is upon him. And his father has turned his face away from him, because the one who called our eye couldn't turn his eye to his son, because now his son had sin on him.
Mm-hmm.
And he turns his face, that had never happened to his son. And he says, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? And this is the reason why, because we caught his eye.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden, before he passes on the cross, Jesus says this, and oh my goodness, we need God's grace for this. He said, Father, hold not this sin against them, for they know not what they're doing.
Mm.
I mean, they're nailing him to a cross. They're calling God Satan. Everything good, they're calling bad. And he's done nothing wrong. Huge injustices. But he entrusted himself who judges justly, the one whose eye we caught.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And then he dies. His body, spirit leaves his body. They put him in a tomb. And it looks like it's over. Everybody's terrified. Everybody that was following him was terrified. Oh my goodness, they killed our leader. They killed Jesus. What happened to his kingdom? Where do we go? And one guy ran so fast. He was so terrified when he saw what happened. He ran so fast, he literally ran out of his clothes.
Yeah.
And he ran so fast, his clothes stayed there, and he ran. And everybody's in hiding. What do we do? Oh, my goodness, what do we do? And it looks like it's over. And let me tell you something. It is not over. It is not over. It is not over, because on the third day,
mm-hmm.
when it looked like it was totally over, and they were going to go dress his body in the tomb, they go and they find out, it's like, he ain't here. Where is he at? He's gone.
Right.
The Lord's gone. He's gone. Think about it. Oh my goodness, somebody stole his body. And so they come running out. And they say, you know, who took him? And they didn't realize they were talking to him who they thought he took. It's like, this is him. They go, oh, my goodness, this is Jesus. You were just dead. And he goes, but you're alive. And and so they hug him, and he goes, don't touch me yet, because I have not yet went to the Father and put my blood on the mercy seat in heaven, which you've only seen a shadow of, but there is a once and for all up there waiting for me to come. And so then he says, go tell the disciples and Peter. Go tell the disciples and America that I'm coming. I'm here. I'm alive. And you go. They go tell them. They go tell them, and they say, this ain't true. That couldn't be. I saw him dead. There's no way that he can be. I'm gonna go see for myself. So Peter and they just ran as fast as they could. It was John and Peter ran as fast as they could, go into the tomb to see what's going on. Peter beats them first, and they get there, and there's an angel there. An angel is right there in there saying, listen, why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? The one that was dead is now alive. Jesus, see, the difference in our God and all these false gods is their God is dead and our God is alive. And you caught his eye. He's in love with you. That's why the enemy tells you all these lies. That's why he has your self-worth beat down. And he tells you you're good for nothing. And he causes you to fall in sin. He's the one that tricked you. He's the one that deceived you. He's the one that put you on the ground. He's the one that kicked you in the ribs. And then he looks at you and goes, look at you. Look what you've done. And it was all his lies. Right. And all of that, while you're dripping with the sin of all the things that you've done in your life, like the woman caught in adultery, he looks at us and says, where are your accusers? Because she caught his eye. Listen, it's time for us as God's people to reboot. We got to rethink this thing. Listen, if he's madly in love with you, and he is, and if you caught his eye and you have, and if you've been downloaded by all these lies of the adversary and you feel like you have no worth, realize that he is a liar and he's the father of lies. When he lies, he speaks his native language. Understand, you got to find out what the truth is. That's why you abide. You get in his word because the word, the Bible tells you the truth, not some man's interpretation of the Bible, not some other mysterious angel that appears to somebody in upstate New York or somebody in, you know, the Eastern cultures or somebody down in India, the Bible. and find out. You go, oh, my goodness. The enemy was telling me a lie, but now I've read the truth. And so the light of God's word shines and exposes the lie. And then we can say, you know, I couldn't adjust my belief based on that. I caught his eye. I caught the eye of the creator of the universe. And that's what really blows people away. They say, well, how can that person end up in heaven? They had such a rough life. You just don't understand. They had a rough life because they believed the lie, but all alone they call his eye.
Right.
He doesn't hate you. He loves you. He's not wanting to destroy you. He's wanting to give you eternal life. His plans for you are good. Yes, you're going to have to believe that. The most important thing about you is what you think about God. But when you receive, that's called faith. I receive, Lord, oh my goodness. The only way I can be in relationship with the one whose eye I caught is through your son, Jesus Christ. That's why they try to do away with Jesus, because he's the gateway. Every other way is a thief and a liar. This is a good thing.
Right.
So I just want to encourage you this morning. I just want to encourage you that the creator of the universe, the one who sits encircled by an emerald rainbow, who has lightning and thunder just booming and firing off from his throne with angels all around them crying, holy, 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 with just torches, these huge fiery torches just burning, roar. This huge fire, there's this burning, this witness, and these angels that have eyes on their wings and all over their body, and they're just flying and hovering, and some of them are covering their eyes, and some of the wings are covering their body, and they're just glancing at him. When they glance at the one who's in love with you, they go, oh, holy, holy are you. Oh, my goodness, and they cover their eyes again. Well, think about that. They can't even glance hardly at the one who glanced at you and fell in love with you. This is a love affair. This is a love affair. He is so in love with you that he will shake this earth to its core. to get your attention. He will shake your relationships. He'll shake your money. He'll shake your politics. He'll shake your government. He'll shake you down to a holding cell just so you finally look up and go, is that you looking at me? Mm-hmm. Do you really want me? And that's where the song came from. Amazing Grace. Mm-hmm. How sweet the sound. Because he got the revelation that saved a wretch like me. If you want to meet him, he loves you. But you got to make a choice. You got to find. You got to get in touch with him. You can do this right now by calling out to him. Just cry, Jesus, I want to know you. Go to meetmyfather.org. Go to meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories because we wanted to make the Father known to you to kind of find out, you know, we're all the same. But listen, despite what people may think of us, we called his eye. We'll be right back. I don't know if you heard about the podcast, but I'm excited about the podcast.
Talk to us.
The podcast for VFN TV, the Daily Radio Program. Look, think about it. Mm-hmm. A podcast, this is what a podcast does. It happens without you doing anything.
Oh, that's good.
Once you subscribe to the our podcast, the entire day's programs, the teachings that are loosed, if they're available on VFN TV, released, the highlights, you know, the each individual highlights that you see on the VFN Torch. I mean, this automatically, if you subscribe to the podcast, and it's a podcast, it will just download somehow miraculously into your computer, into your iPhone, into your Android, and you don't even need to be hooked up in the Wi-Fi or anything like that.
It's good.
It just will automatically download it so you can listen to what you want to listen to when you want to listen to it because it's sitting inside your phone, your iPod, your Android, your computer. It's sitting in there like it's a song that you purchased and sits in your playlist. That's what a podcast is, which is pretty cool because what that means is this, that everything that's ever happened in the broadcast, all these different topics and wisdom and everything that we're sharing with you to encourage you, but also to encourage others, that you can have them yourself. You don't have to buy them. You don't have to sign up to get something. They just download automatically through the podcast. Make sure you check it out. Go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to the podcast today.
I wanted to ask you guys, how was the weekend? How was the weekend?
I'll tell you what, man. If you've been going through a drought, you need some rain. I got a pointer for you.
Really?
Plan a barbecue. Plan a barbecue. Guaranteed the rain's coming.
Guaranteed, huh?
Guaranteed.
That's right.
We've been planning this for, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Something like that. Plan a barbecue, pouring rain. So I had to get real industrious.
Oh, please tell us.
I had to get my beach umbrella.
Oh.
Out of the closet. And pop that puppy open over my grill. So I wouldn't get soaked while I'm grilling chicken.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was pretty sad. But you know what? It worked.
It worked.
It worked really well.
Yep.
I did not get wet. The chicken wasn't ruined.
Nope. Turned out
and it
really
was
good.
Pretty good.
Yep.
Well, Chris, was the chicken good?
The chicken was good.
Yeah.
Was it grilled right?
It was grilled right.
Yeah, I got some good pointers. I don't know what you guys do over there in Texas and up in Jersey. We got it going on down here in Florida.
Uh-oh.
Here we go. Barbara.
Y'all don't know nothing about no. Y'all don't know about the barbecue.
See, you're stirring something up now. See, Eddie going with
Eddie?
The sticky ribs.
I'm sure they're
Eddie's listening.
Listening
this morning. He's listening.
Eddie, listen up, man. Listen up.
He's going to get you with sticky ribs now. I mean, he says they're looking good now.
Yeah, rain and all, man.
Well, did you happen to see Chris's new addition to the family? I mean, we did talk about this Friday. We were a little bit shocked.
Yes.
Yes. Amazed that
the family just continues to grow. I don't know how it happens.
Oh. And yet again we are going to try the having another pet in the home. Did we get a chance? We've had tigers, lions, and bears, a lion in the house.
Yeah, no doubt.
I think we did it right this time though.
I gotta admit, I gotta admit.
Dinosaurs. I mean, what? Did you see the dog?
He brought the dog. We had chicken, and we had pug. But I gotta tell you, man, that was the cutest little dog, man. You'll have to send you a picture, post it on Torch, man. It was adorable.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, my God. It's probably about this big, about the size of a rat.
6 inches, huh?
But it was adorable.
Yeah.
He laid on my belly and just slept forever.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, those are the best. I'll tell you. I mean, we all have dogs. We just love these animals.
Yeah, I can't put mine on my chest, though.
No.
Well, my 80-pound Doberman tries to get on my chest. I'm just like,
oh, I know. That's right.
Can you get your chin off of me yet again?
It's like, yeah, right off my head.
Yeah, we should have named him Shadow because, I mean, everywhere you walk, he wants to be right there, part of the family. It's amazing. But you just bond with them, you know. If you have an elderly person or someone that's at home, I tell you, there's nothing. It's really a great thing to consider is getting them a pet, get them a dog. I mean, they're great companions. They will, if you treat them right, they will love their master.
Oh, man.
And it's just therapeutic. I love walking the dog. It's very, very therapeutic.
Mm-hmm.
Later in my dad's life, he got a dog and really, truly helped. He was single and really helped him out. He was recovering from illnesses. Mm-hmm. It truly helped him out.
Oh, wow.
We did see an amazing video. Wish we had that available for you today. Maybe we can make it available this week. So we saw a video this Sunday of an autistic boy
that was
interacting with – was that a lab?
It was a lab. Yeah. It's a yellow lab. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful lab, and the lab is just trying to reach out to the autistic little boy. I mean, he could have been more than 2 years old.
Yeah.
And they're laying the autistic boy is sitting on the ground, and the dog is laying right before him, and the dog is trying to put a paw on his leg on his body.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The little boy's like,
get pushing it away, You're touching me. Get off of me.
You are kind of big here for that. And the dog would inch. He's a big dog now. He would inch a little forward.
He's probably 70, 80 pounds. That's a big dog.
That was a big dog.
But he was so gentle, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very loving.
So gentle.
Very loving. And then after a few more tries, the boy's like, okay, I can't push you away anymore. He just starts like to hug on the dog, put berries his head on top of him.
Yeah.
It was so cute. You know, it was so adorable. It's just like people, you know, keep loving on people, no matter if they keep kind of pushing you away. You know, when the first time I hugged Chris, he kind of froze.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Really? So,
like a boy that says,
you put your paw on his shoulder, you know. He was...
Is this human interaction? What is going on? Is someone touching me?
It was quite strange.
But I didn't give up. I just
didn't.
On Chris. And, you know, we have a tradition every year that I go visit. Some of our ministers get together and get into them. I get a chance to go out there and hug on Chris again and commemorate that hug with a picture every year. We commemorate that hug. And so no matter if they keep pushing you away, you know, keep loving them. Keep hugging on them because, you know, there's hope. Look at Chris. I mean, his heart melted. He'll hug you back.
You broke through, man. Yeah. You know what his new nickname is, right?
What's the nickname?
It's Sensitive Chris.
Oh, it's not Sensitive Chris.
Sensitive
it's
Chris.
Not
Sensitive.
No. Compassionate Chris. I'm sorry. Compassionate.
Get it right, man.
I'm sorry. Get it thesaurus. Compassionate.
Right. Compassionate Chris. That's right. He's very compassionate. If you need mercy, call Chris.
That's right.
Yeah.
Call Chris.
What was that? You're breaking up. You're breaking up.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. My goodness, fellas, talk to me.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Can you believe Chris is that sensitive? Oh, my gosh.
Is he sensitive?
It's compassionate.
Oh, sorry. Compassionate.
Didn't we just discuss this?
Why do you keep messing this up? It's compassionate Chris.
Compassionate, sensitive. What's the difference?
He is definitely a compassionate. My goodness. My goodness.
I
talk with the pug.
Yeah.
But, you know, that pug is just, you know, he's really adorable. You know,
just say adorable and pug at the same time?
Adorable. It's part of that compassion.
Well, you saw him. Come on.
Yeah.
He even broke through to my heart.
Yeah.
Wow.
Pat went and got his brother.
I had to go get one.
Get one.
I need a therapy, man. I need a therapy.
And he broke the wallet. I mean, wow. I mean, this was a move of God. It was a prayer request.
I'm telling you, man. It was my kid's been begging me to get another dog. Like, no, no, ain't happening.
My goodness. Well, don't send them prayers this way. Don't send them.
Oh, I'm sending them all towards you, bro.
Appreciate it.
Teresa.
Thanks. No poodles. Anyway, we do want to talk about a really serious topic, you know, today that's plaguing many believers. And many believers today, man, are being so taken down by the devil, by the enemy. I mean, it's like just left and right. And I hate to see God's people, you know, harassed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're walking around defeated, hopeless, and bound by sin, and having allowed themselves to be ensnared and even bondage. I mean, just down. And they're praying so that the devil would flee, even commanding him to leave, and are shocked when he sticks around. But this is what James 4:7 tells us. Submit yourselves then to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. They just remember the second part, the second verse, flee from you. The devil's going to flee from me.
Right, right.
But you got to do some resisting. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, the devil, this is like, well, or, you don't made him
well,
comfortable.
Well, submitting actually comes first.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you don't put him on the couch. You know what I'm saying? You don't welcome in. The word resist means to stand firm against. To stand firm against, not to yield, to fight. It means to oppose and refuse to accept or comply. I mean, this is what resisting is. You're talking about resisting being taken down, resisting, you know, losing, resisting giving an inch. And today, it seems like many are not even interested in resisting.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the spiritual climate in America, look at the spiritual climate in the church. The devil's running wild.
Yeah.
Causing all kinds of havoc in homes and families and marriages and the government. I mean, just look at today's media. Movies, music, and it's getting darker and darker and darker. And many believers forget that we are in a spiritual war. You know what I'm saying? The war has been waged against you. Ephesians 6:12 says that for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I mean, we are in a spiritual battle, and the devil has waged war against us. But instead of resisting the devil, many have made him comfortable on the lazy boy.
Yeah. Parked right next to us.
Parked right on the couch. They've made him at home in their, you know, comfortable in their homes. They've gotten cozy with the enemy in their lives. And they've ignored this very serious reality. They've ignored this very serious reality that, you know, two things of this reality, that he does exist, his presence, and that he is insanely evil. I mean, just live and carrying on like there was no devil, like this was not a spiritual war, and like he is not insanely evil. And the truth is that, you know what, we need to get a revelation that God loves us. Yes, God loves us, and we have caught his eye. But you better get a revelation that the devil hates your guts.
Yeah.
You need to get that revelation, because the word of God tells us in John 10 that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's a thief. He's a thief, and he wants to steal you away and bring you into captivity and into sin, and he wants you to be destroyed. I mean, look about, I mean, look, just Look how many lives have been shattered by the devil. Mm. You know, why be a statistic? Why, you know, make him cozy? You know, get him off of your couch. Get him off your lap. Get the sin out of your life. Let me tell you, sin will damn your soul to hell. I mean, this is a serious business, and I see people playing around with the enemy. And we're like watchmen on the walls right now. We're sounding the alarm. We're letting you know that if you don't get it right with God, the devil will take you out. And we've seen this.
Yeah.
We've seen this. Mm-hmm. And it's like warning upon warning upon warning. The Bible even tells us in Ephesians 4:27, do not give the devil a foothold. Mm-mm. Don't give him a toehold. Don't even crack the door. Don't even crack the doors. If you crack the doors, he's going to kick it right on in. Mm. And the reason many are not even struggling, you know, they're not even struggling, much less resisting them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And when I think about, you know, little children, and when it's time to put them to bed or put them, you know, for a nap, I have a little girl, and, you know, wife will sing a little song to her, or you sing a little thing to her, and she's, you know, she'll tell you every day she's not sleepy. No, I'm not sleepy. Thank you. As soon as you start singing a little lullaby,
right,
she'll fall right asleep. She's in denial. And the church today is in denial that they're falling asleep. The church is in denial that they're not falling asleep, and that Satan is singing a lullaby to them.
Mm.
They've been lulled asleep.
Yeah.
They've lulled asleep. And it's time for the church to wake up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Good.
And Satan has a lullaby. Satan has a lullaby that he's singing. And they're falling deeper and deeper and deeper asleep. Just like my little girl's in denial when you tell her it's time to go to bed. She's like, no. But as soon as you start singing that song, her eyes start to get heavy. She begins to yawn, and just within a few seconds, she's out. And I believe that's what's happening right now to many in the church.
Hush, little sinner, don't you cry. Satan's gonna bless you before you die. The world I'll lay before your feet. Don't be concerned for the judgment seat. Hush, little sinner, don't you cry. Satan's gonna tell you the reason why. I'll give you fortune, wealth, and fame. From this point on, you won't be the same. My plans for you, there's so much to share. Trust in me, you won't have a care. If all these things can satisfy, I'll give you more before you die. The preacher man says turn today. My word to you is live to play. There's so much time, don't be concerned. You've come this far on what you've learned. Your heart is pounding hard, it seems. Don't turn to God, it's all a dream. Rest in my arms, we'll sing a song. Together we will walk along. This Jesus is a passing fad. They say he helps if you are sad. The joy he brings is not like mine. I'll make you happy all the time. Hush, little sinner, don't you cry. Satan's gonna bless you before you die. The world I'll lay before your feet. Don't be concerned for the judgment seat.
wake up, wake up. Don't fall asleep. That was Steve Hill. Mm. But don't listen to Satan's lullaby. Mm. He never comes bold. It's always a whisper. It's always a leading. It's always a deception. It's always just come a little bit. Just come a little bit. And before you know, it's just like sin. Sin will make you go farther than you ever wanted to go. You didn't want to go that bad. You didn't want to do too much. It's just a little bit. I'm not that bad. And before you know it, you're taken down. Mm-hmm. You're taken down. Satan hates your guts. 1 Peter 5:8 says that we are to be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. The next sentence in scripture says, resist him. Resist him. You got to resist him. And I've seen where you know, God has someone in a group, and he has them in a fellowship of believers, and he has them, you know, together and protected, and the word of the Lord is going forth, and yet the enemy's able to lull someone asleep, lull them away, because he's roaring. He's prowling, if you will, and he's looking to take somebody out, but you got to stand firm. You got to stand firm. And you can't be given to every single temptation. I'm like, oh, you're not struggling. I mean, this is, you know, this is struggling, is resisting, and then it's just laying down. I mean, you got to really evaluate this thing. Which one is it here? You know, is you really struggling, or are you just laying down to this thing?
Right.
God wants you to resist. And repent means that we turn away from sin, and we begin living in the fear of the Lord. Really looking forward this week to be, you know, sharing more about the fear of the Lord. But the fear of the Lord is the greatest protection against any kind of sin. You can put all kind of protections on your computers and on your stuff and all the safeguards and all the accountability in the world. But the fear of the Lord, let me tell you, a true fear of the Lord will keep you on the right place and on the right path. Because narrow is the road, right? Mm-hmm. Narrow is the road that leads to God, and wide is the road that leads to destruction. But, you know, one of the first things of seeing the devil flee, the devil to run off from your life, is you need to do what the first part of the verse says. Submit yourselves then to God. You can't, you know, if you don't submit yourself to God, how can the enemy flee? How can the enemy get out of attacking your life and destroying your life and bringing division and getting you into bondage and attacking you with all kinds of spiritual attacks? Mm-hmm. If you haven't, you know, you're lying to yourself.
Yeah.
Totally asleep, totally duped. And many are duped to think that, you know, I'm just going to pray. Listen, the seven sons of Sceva found out that you don't play around. Right. You don't play. There's not a time to play church. That doesn't even compute. There's no such thing as that. You got to have a relationship with the Lord. You got to understand that he loves you. You got to understand that we need to have a healthy fear of the Lord, and that the enemy is going to try to do every single thing to separate you from God. I mean, if he had the nerve and the audacity to try to attack Jesus after a 40-day fast, he came to attack Jesus.
That's right.
What makes you think that he's not going to come to attack you? And what did Jesus tell him? How did Jesus defeat the enemy? No doubt that he was submitted to the Father. But Jesus said three times, it is written, it is written, it is written. You know, when we abide in God's truth and we abide in God's word will become a sure foundation in our life and in our heart. And we'll be able to combat the enemy. We'll be able to resist the enemy. Because we've abided with the Lord. I want to encourage you today, if the enemy has tried to lull you asleep, if he's tried to pull you out from a fellowship of believers that loves you and is caring for you, if the enemy has tried to deceive you, wake up today. Wake up today. Submit yourself to God and don't be lulled asleep. Resist him. Resist the devil and he will flee. We'll be right back. Steve, oh my goodness, how many times you're trying to explain Vine Fellowship Network And like, really, how do you explain right. this awesome revelation? Well, so many people are talking to me and they want to know more because they're so attracted to being the church instead of going to the church. Well, that's why we have Vine Seminars. Vine Seminars is an awesome opportunity how you can begin to start seeing this progressive revelation
right.
that has just been shared by God, how it's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be, but how it truly, truly is all about family and really fulfilling the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. I want to encourage you, get a chance and find out more at vineseminars.org.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to BFN Radio every day, we know we're 24-7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation. That stand with us prayerfully and financially. That just partner on a monthly basis. To financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us and we together at VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. And you're joining us in the extra hour. You're joining us in the extra hour. And if you just tuned in, we were just talking about resisting the devil, resisting. And that word literally means to fight. I mean, people think they're resisting, but you got to resist. You got to stand firm, not yield. And you have to refuse to accept or comply. But if we submit to God first and we resist him and resist, the devil will flee. He has no choice but to flee.
That's right.
But, you know, the enemy does have authority. What people don't realize is that believers don't realize, well, you know, it's a greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Absolutely. But, you know, the devil has authority too, and he has authority in darkness. And if you go to dark places, you're in his territory. Mm-hmm. You're in his territory. And so we can avoid dark things, dark places, and we can stand firm and not allow him to pick us off, if you will, or lull us to sleep with a little lullaby, because it's what he wants to do. Because he wants to destroy us. But Jesus came. Let me tell you, Jesus came that we may have life and life more abundantly. And God has called us to be overcomers. We're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And greater is he. Greater is he that lives in us than he that lives in the world. And we can resist him, and he will definitely flee. and greater anointing and authority for kingdom advancement will come. Because if the enemy had the nerve and the audacity to try to come against Jesus after he fasted for 40 days, Jesus dealt with him, and he dealt with him with the word. It is written, it is written, it is written. Mm-hmm. And he was gone.
Right.
And he'll flee from you too. We want to talk at the end of the extra hour about the VFN Torch top three. With over now 1,200 highlights, 1,200 highlights, we do want to share some of the top three with you today. And the first one we want to share is don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. This is a great highlight because we talked about at the time of this message, how the United Nations had just taken a vote to grant the state of Palestine to have an observatory status in the UN. Mm-hmm. That just happened. And we talk about how there's great deception and how people are deceived that what they think they're doing is actually right when they're actually dead wrong. And we know, and the scriptures tell us, that Satan is the father of lies. He is the father of deceptions. He all he can use is trickery and doubt, and those are his tools, his specialty. And once a person is deceived, the only thing that can pull someone out of deception is the truth. And deception is so strong right now that many are asleep, and that's why we talk about all the time to abide. Abiding is a wonderful way to have an amazing relationship with the Lord, but a byproduct of that, a byproduct of abiding, is that you will stay awake.
Yeah.
You will stay alert. You will stay fresh with the Lord. And you're looking at America right now. America's greatly deceived. Mm. You have a caliphate that's surrounding Israel, and it's closing their eyes as if it doesn't exist. And it's time. It's time for the Davids in the Bible, the Davids that took out the giants in the land, to rise up and to say, we're not going to be taken down by, you know, this deception. We're not going to be taken down, but we are going to stand firm in God's truth and God's word. Don't be deceived. You want to look at that on the VFN Torch by going to VFNTV.com. The second one we want to talk about today is faith that moves. Faith that moves. And we share an account in Luke 17 where Jesus healed 10 lepers. And these guys had highly contagious skin disease. They were contaminated. They had to be quarantined. And they had to be isolated because they would actually infect other people. But these men were so desperate that when they saw Jesus on his way to a village, they called out to him in a loud voice and said, Jesus, Jesus, have pity on us. Have pity on us. I mean, they were risking stepping out and saying, and calling out to the Lord. And Jesus told them what to do. And their faith in doing what God told them to do made them well. See, Jesus gave them an instruction. Their faith in what Jesus told them to do, right? Mm-hmm. It made them well. And we continue to discuss in this highlight that faith without works, faith that doesn't move, is really no faith at all. Faith, you have to have faith that moves. Faith requires you to move, to step on out, and to do what it is that God said you can do, you can have, you can believe. But you got to move. If there's no action and there's no works behind the faith, then actually that faith is dead and there's no faith at all. God requires that we live a life of trusting him for everything. And we share some of our own experiences in our own lives where we've had to exercise faith, that we've had to have faith that steps on out of our present circumstances and believes God, but we had to have our faith and our works and our moving working together to see the fulfillment of what God said he was going to do. If you want to be encouraged, you want to be challenged in your faith, you want to be spurred on to believe God, I'm telling you, you want to listen to Faith That Moves. And the last one I want to share with you today as we come to the close of the extra hour, as we come to the close of the extra hour, is do you have a ring and a pig's snout? Do you have a ring and a pig's snout? This is a moment of wisdom that we shared in Proverbs 11:22. It says, like a gold ring and a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. And we share how a ring and a pig's snout was actually used to control a pig. And today, I mean, we're seeing, guys, many beautiful men and women that are using their beauty and their bodies for seduction, with men being seduced and women controlling what they do. I mean, if you look at today's culture, it's deep into seduction. And God's people should never use their bodies to seduce others. It's ungodly. And when using seduction as a way to hook others, I mean, you're also attract those things that you never intended to attract, oftentimes resulting in you suffering for it. You know, when you're trying to sit, you know, careful what you're trying to catch, because you don't know what's coming with that.
Exactly.
You don't know what's behind that. And it's a powerful tool that the enemy is using in seduction, but we shouldn't use what God's given us and in the beauty that reflects the glory of the Lord to be used in a seductive way, to be used as a tool of the enemy. You know, Luke 17:2 says this: it would be better, speaking for the seducer, right? It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. Think about that. Do you think Jesus is serious about this?
Oh, yeah.
About causing others to sin? It'd be better for that person that's doing the seducing. Listen, this is how it's going to come out for you. It'd be better for you to take this big old rock necklace and throw it into the sea than for you to use whatever you have. And it could be your body. It could be your gifts. It could be your charm. It could be your deceit to seduce people into doing what you want them to do or what Satan wants them to do. Listen, don't be used by the enemy, but use what God's given you to glorify God.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.